Recording has started.
Log Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, with the National Black Unity News Conference Call. And this is a unique day, as all days are. But, you know, every day has its new challenges, rewards, and everything else. But, you know, the old saying is one day at a time. And it's been a challenging weekend for me because of some computer virus. And I'll talk about that a little later, how we all should protect our computers and things like that, because I had a real eye-opening experience this weekend, and I just wanted to share with the world that, of course, we all know we are vulnerable, but you don't know to what extent. And so I'm going to elaborate on that a little later on. And we have a guest coming on this evening, and I hope everything's all right with him, Mr. Achenyele Lucas. And him and Congressman John Lewis grew up together, and he is one of our editors. And it's kind of, I was just talking to Fran Allen about, you know, the cycle of life. Here we, you know, as of next Sunday, they would do a homegoing service from one of our own editors, Mr. George Mitchell. And like I say, a couple of weeks ago, he was here, and now he's gone, you know, and the same thing with Congressman Lewis. And I think that might be our guest there. Yeah, that's him. And but in any case, before we get started, there's something I don't often do, and I want these two brothers to know how much I appreciate them, is Mr. Satawi Jahi and Brother Andre Hector, who takes their time, ladies and gentlemen, to be on this podcast and to host it. And we have another host on here as well, Fran Allen, who does our Tuesday night conference call. And I just want to give a shout-out to them because they take their own personal time to share valuable information with people, you know, information that you can't get no place else, you know, because it's just coming from us, and you can't get this from CNN and no place else. This is straight talk, straight from us. And I can tell you one thing about those people I just mentioned is this, that their heart is in the right place. They generally care about you, and they want a better quality of life for you. And again, I thank each and every one of y'all, because I don't want you to go unnoticed, because your contributions are greatly needed, and your experiences in life is powerful. And I'm just so glad that you're sharing it with us, and you're part of our team. And as always, we open up our podcast with a reading from Brother Satawi Jahi. So, Brother Satawi Jahi, look how old I'm getting. I'm spitting out already. I'm going to start rapping in a minute.
All right.
But in any case, Brother Satawi Jahi always has a great reading with powerful message to us. So, Brother Satawi, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. And again, thank you for that shout out, and thank you for all that you do. And thank Fran for all that she does, and thank Mr. Andre Hector for all that he does. Because, you know, it takes a team. Teamwork makes the dream work. So you just want to keep that in mind as our listening audience chime in and hear our voices tonight. And our reading that we do each week is from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who also is in the movie. I had a chance to rewatch the movie last Thursday night. Dr. Boyce Watkins does Black Movie Night, and he had Black Friday, the remix on, which was a very, very good movie. And, you know, the movie starts off with, when you leave here, what are you going to leave, benefits or bills? And that's something we all should think about. You know, they talked about, don't be in a situation where you have your family has to do a GoFundMe campaign for your final expenses. So, you know, with all that said, you know, we're getting to our reading for tonight. July 27th, Field of Dreams. Quote, a person never knows what he can do until he does it, unquote. Gordon Parks Sr., filmmaker. In his book, The Heart of a Champion, Bob Richards tells the story of Olympic champion Charlie Peddock, While speaking before a group of students in Cleveland, Ohio, PetDoc challenged the audience to think big. Quote, if you think you can, he coached, unquote. If you believe a thing strongly enough, it can come to pass in your life, unquote. Before PetDoc concluded his remarks, he lifted his hand and said,
I'm on the podcast right now.
Who knows, there may be an Olympic champion sitting among us. No sooner did he utter those words than a finely legged Cal approached him. Mr. PetDoc, he said excitedly, I would give anything if I could be an Olympian just like you. It was the boy's hour of inspiration. From that moment on, his life changed forever. In 1936, that skinny kid traveled to Berlin and turned in four electrifying performances, capturing gold medals in the process. His name, Jesse Owens. During a victory tour through the streets of Cleveland, Ohio, Owens stopped to sign autographs. A tiny child pressed against his car, looked his idol in the face and said, gee, Mr. Owens, I'd give anything if I could be an Olympic champion just like you. Jesse reached out and replied, you know, young man, that's what I wanted to be when I was a little older than you. If you will work and train and believe, then one day you will hit your goals. 12 years later at Wembley Stadium in London, England, six sprinters exploded out the blocks in the 100-meter dash finals. The sprinter in the outside lane burst into open, drove down, and broke the tape first. His name, Harrison Bones Dillard. You say that's a coincidence? You say that it will never happen again? You're wrong. It will happen again and again to the person who captures a vision and backs it with action. Today I believe I will act and I will succeed. And, you know, when we think about Congressman Owens, Congressman Lewis.
Lewis, yes, sir.
Yeah. He, you know, he got involved in the civil rights movement at an early age as a student of a SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Got roughed up along the way, but he had a dream of being able to challenge unjust laws that he had gotten through Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who, you know, inspired him to be a part of that movement and participate in it. And from there, you know, we've had some tremendous things that have happened and changed in our lives for African Americans. And so, you know, again, as the nation honors him, you know, we want to honor him tonight. And we have Mr. Lucas going to share what it was like growing up being a friend of Mr. Lewis. And so we're looking forward to hear what Mr. Lucas has to say tonight around that topic in regards. But the whole thing is dream. You can accomplish the things that you say. People say, you know, that's a coincidence. Jesse Owens, he dreamt about becoming an Olympic gold medalist. And somebody asked him about, you know, having that same dream. He told him, hey, just go for it. Years later, Harrison Bones Dillard also became an Olympic champion and was able to go on and do some great things. So never underestimate your dreams, because dreams can lead to reality. With that said, David, I'm turning it back over to you, sir.
Yeah, just want to ask you one question, Brother Satari. What was the name of that movie you said the next, by Dennis Kimbrough?
With Dennis Kimbrough, it's called Black Friday, the Remix, and it was put out by Reggie Mathis. And that movie, like I said again, you know, it has some very, very powerful information in it. And again, Dr. Boyce Watkins, what he does every Thursday night, he has what's called Black Movie Night. And I've seen some good movies on there. I had a chance to see Black Privilege. We shared how Inglewood in Chicago, which was a black community, how when they tore down the projects in the inner city, how people was transported there, and then how the people, the black people in that community, you know, sort of turned their nose up at him. And that was a good movie. If you had a chance to watch it, because I don't want to give it away. Like my wife say, always give away the plots and all of that stuff.
Okay, then we're going to stop you right now, then.
Yeah. But Black Privilege is a good movie to see. Black Privilege is a good movie to see. And Black Pride.
Yeah. See? You see what I mean? But
well, there you go.
Thank you, brother.
Man.
Just
right.
Messing with you. But, you know, family is this. I'm going to bring our guest on. I see he's on board. And we can talk openly after he has our conversation with our guest.
Right.
And I'm going to share a little information about this gentleman. I met him many years ago, and he always been straightforward. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this openly and honestly. There's not many that I come across that I have such high esteem for. I know a lot of good people. And but this gentleman, ever since I met him, has stayed true to the cause. He has, you know, stayed true to me pretty much. And I deem him as a big brother. And not only a big brother, I deem him as not only my elder, but also a role model. And as well as a confidant, you know, I share personal stuff with him. And in other words, I have a great deal of respect for this gentleman. And he's been around the block once or twice. But one thing I know, like I said, he's an entrepreneur. He's an editor in the National Black Unity News. He's also a poet. He's a writer. He, to me, I tell people this, you know, I say, I'll put him up against any new age rap out here. Because he could take words, man, and do wonders with them. You can give him your name, give him a birthday, and in no time he'll come up with a poem or some type of poetry that related to the stuff. He can watch the news, somebody in the news, and he will instantly come up with a poem for him. He had wrote so many poems for so many. He wrote one for our friend, for Elijah. He wrote one for him. He also, he wrote for, almost every occasion out there, because he and I share a lot. He just writes them. You know, it just comes from the heart, and that's a gift. That's what Brother Satari was just talking about. See, when you have a gift, and you take those gifts and you hone in on them, all sorts of things, your gift, man, you know, because it's a natural thing with him. But, you know, but it just didn't come overnight, because he kept on writing, sharing his thoughts, and now he's able to, at a split second, just spit something out for you. And I appreciate him for that, but you come, because we know one thing. Most of us here on here are editors, and we have a few authors on here. And one thing, those who are biblical students also know their words are extremely powerful.
That's true.
And they don't come back void. Whether they're negative, be it positive, they come out. Even the things that we heard as babies, as infants and stuff like that, you know, is in our subconscious mind. That information is still there. That's how powerful the mind is. And sometimes, you know, that's why you have to be extremely careful what you say to people sometimes, especially the children and things like that, because it has lasting impressions. Because, like I say, my life turned out kind of crazy because I listened to what somebody else said. But
that's true.
Getting back to words again, Mr. Lewis. Came from, I'm going to let him share his own story, but he comes from the neighboring town, from the boy from Troy, as they call him. And when I first met Mr. Lewis, he used to share, you know, some information about Mr. Lewis. And so with that being said, Mr. Lucas, are you on board with us, sir?
I am, Mr. Murphy, thank you.
And the way I'm gonna do this is, you're an editor. You're not a stranger to most of us, and so I just want you to jump in, and as far as you can remember back, just share some of the things that you and Congressman Lewis, you know, I know you said you went to high school. Some of the things that you knew about him.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm waiting on you.
Okay. Yeah, John and I met each other. We were in the seventh grade, and he was from Troy, and I was from Brundage. and we only had one high school in that area, and it started in the seventh grade. And everybody that lived within 10 or 20 miles, if we were African American, that's where we had to go to school. John had to walk 5 or 6 miles, and he was lucky because I walked a little bit further than that, and I had to walk about 5 miles, and then I caught the Greyhound bus. My parents had to pay my way to get on the bus. And then, like now, children in school, they get their books free in from elementary through high school. We had to buy books. Mm. We normally went to a drugstore called Reed's Drugstore, where the white kids had put their books in there for sale after they had used them the year before, and that's what we had to purchase. And with John and I, and it was another friend of ours named James Calhoun. We was just, I guess, the three musketeers, I guess we can call ourselves. And we were the only three students in our school that we wore a jacket and a tie. And we always carried our little Bible with us. And we always preached to each other. And we had a great respect for God. And for the word, and for girls and women. And as we grew and grew, and we always did. And one thing, after we finished high school, we went in three different directions. James Calhoun, he went into business. And John went to Tennessee, where he went to a seminar and then another school. And then he went to the, he walked across the bridge. And me, I was in the military and I walked in Vietnam. Mm. And the most interesting thing about it, I was safer.
Whoa. You were safer than he was, huh?
Yes.
Ready to go.
Let's say so.
I was safe in Vietnam than John was in Montgomery. And I often think about it, and I often call John when he was in his office in D.C. and in Atlanta. We talked about the things that we had gone through. And, of course, some of the things that I saw and happened in Vietnam, I talked about them to John, but I normally try to forget. And once you see John as an adult, you've seen him as a teenager. John did not change. And he always had this... his thought pattern was, if we get into trouble, get into good trouble.
Good trouble.
Do something that's worth remembering and something worth doing and make a difference in the lives of somebody. And this is what John was all about. Although I knew John was sick, and I talked to the president of our student alumni, and I often talk to him, and we reach out to our students, and we had planned a cookout for John just as soon as he was able. We talked to all the students that we could find, and he was just ready. As soon as John was ready and available, we was going to all go to Troy, Alabama, and have a cookout and a dinner and everything, and just act crazy with John. But that wasn't in the Lord's plan. And what we always say, whatever God's will is, that is our will. And if you all, I know some of you probably have met John. So when you meet John in a casual setting, he's a bale of fun. And one thing John never forgot was God. He always talked about God. And during our lunch period, we got together. And before we pull out our paper bag with our lunch, we thank God for whatever we had. And we didn't know we were poor because we had everything that we needed. In our school, we didn't have a cafeteria. And at the beginning, we didn't have running water in our school. But we knew that we were the best that it was. And I just thank God for John and what he has meant in my lives and what he has meant to millions throughout the world. And when I wrote my article in our life's paper, I started writing and the Spirit kept telling me, make this in honor of John Robert Lewis. And I had no idea that John was as close as he was to going back to the Lord. But I sat down and I say, now, what is the greatest passion that John has?
Right.
And then I knew that voting, he always talked about voting. Make your vote count.
Make your vote count.
And that's when I thought of this subject. The value and power of one vote, just the one vote. And I try to tell everybody I talk to, vote. Your vote is just as important and just as great as anyone else. And this is why, David, I thank you for inviting me on this call. And I'm thankful for all the editors and everyone who's on this call. And I appreciate you all so much. And I remember a book that Eric Dowson wrote. I hadn't even heard of it, but some friends of mine invited me to a book review.
Do you remember the name of the book?
The book. The Why I Love Black Women. And I know you all read that. And they said, well, we want you to review it. Say, how are you going to review it? If you ever. And we looked for the book, couldn't find it. And so I told the ladies who invited me, so what I'll do, I'll just write a poem in honor. And I wrote a poem, and it was great, and it was also put it in one of our papers, in our second newspaper. And I'm just so thankful. And one thing I would like to do, and I wrote a poem years ago, and it reminded me of John Robert Lewis and what he did and what he stood for and the things that we went through. And the title of that poem, if I may, David, just yes. Read it.
Go right on. Go ahead, sir.
And the title of it is...
Let's hear it.
Y'all forgive me. You know men don't cry.
Take your time, sir.
Yes, they do.
Yes, I can, too. He said, when my back is against the wall, and it went like this. When my back is against the wall, I will stand straight. I will stand tall. I will not waver. I will not fall. For in God's hand, he has it all. When life and living throws me a curve, I'll bow my head and muster up nerve, knowing this is not something for mortal man. This is for God with his mighty hand. When no longer can I hold back the tears, I think of Jesus on Calvary's hill. I heard how he died. Oh, can't you hear? Who am I standing with one little tear? Yes, he buffered and died, outstretched arms. So when trouble comes, my way I won't be alone. Yet who am I but a dusty mortal man? I can't do everything, but I'll do all that I can. I lift my head, straighten up my back that is bended, stand tall knowing the struggle is not yet ended. When my back is against the wall, Lord, what am I to do? I wipe my tears, bend my knees, and talk it over with you. And John, that's for you, my friend. Lord, have mercy. Forgive me, y'all. Thank you, baby.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lucas, you know, I appreciate you and I fear you. And let me say this to you, sir. It's all right, you know, for a man to care. It's all right for a man to shed tears, because I shed many. And, and you know, it's a cleansing thing about this. But, you know, again, I thank you for your heartfelt poem and just for your heart alone, because you, to me, you're a powerful man. And just you have to be powerful, just based on what you told me in the beginning of your story, of where you come from, what you had to do just to go to school.
That's right.
And then not only did they have to pay your way to get on the bus, and then you had to pay for secondhand books.
Yes, Lord.
In the land of the free. And then here, Congressman John Lewis, you were safer in Vietnam, a foreign country with bullets flying over your head, than him right here in the United States.
Yes.
See, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I talk about sometimes. You know, Mr. Nichols go a little further back than I do, but nevertheless, even in my days, there were struggles. Even to this day, it's still struggle.
That's right.
But you know, like Mr. Nichols said, but you know, when your back is up against the wall, through God's grace, you're going to have to stand tall. And because if we don't, all of us are going to fall. And it's so, you know, I'm going to open up the lines. But again, Mr. Lucas, you know, the people don't understand that the road one must travel to get to their destination. The blood, sweat, and tears, the heartaches, the ups and downs, the ins and outs that we have to all, and everybody only has their own story.
Everybody
can sit on here. Everybody, don't care what age group you win,
you
got some serious stories. That's right. And so, and but there's a common knowledge in all of this. You know, just like they say, diamonds, you got to go through something. You got to go through the fire.
Yeah,
you got to be molded. You got to be shaped.
That's right.
And then if you can overcome those things, man, you come out like you just come out more powerful. And I'm going to say this to everybody on this call right now. You know, again, Mr. Lucas, I appreciate you coming on here. And I do know, because I have lost many friends.
Yes.
Many, many close associates. And everybody life is valuable. But you see, everybody life, you can't replace nobody with somebody else.
Right.
I don't care who they are, what they are to you. You cannot replace that individual.
Sure
and so that's how valuable and how precious our lives are. And so with that being said, if anybody want to open up the line, the lines are open. And if y'all want share your thoughts or your feelings with Mr. Lucas, you go ahead.
Yes, I do.
The doors of the church is open.
So, this is Andre Hector, radio personality, motivational speaker. Welcome, everybody. Like Mr. David Murphy said, the lines are open now. Please call 605-313-4163. Then hit the access code 659975 and pound. And then you guys can come on. We're live on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Thank you, sir, Mr. Lucas, coming on to the show. I was writing some things down, and I was just admiring a lot of the things you said. We just thank you for the poem. We had somebody on Facebook, LaShawn Evans from Baltimore. She said that that was a beautiful poem, and she thanks you for that.
Thank you.
One of the things that I was jotting down, I take notes as I go along here, is that you said if you're going to get in trouble, get in good trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, that was amazing to me, because sometimes we get in trouble, especially nowadays, the times that we're living in, a lot of people get in trouble. And I guess the big question is, what was your purpose? You know what I'm saying? Was it the kind of trouble that was going to make an impact for a positive difference? Or was it going to be the kind of trouble where you just did it because you're 2x7 or whatever the case may be, 4x7, you're older than 21, and you feel like you just do what you want to do. But as you are living today and you're seeing the world that we're in, what is your observation? Are the people getting it? Is the trouble that we're seeing, is it a kind of trouble that we can honestly say that, okay, we can see the trouble, but it's good trouble? Or is it the kind of trouble that's disturbing and it doesn't make any sense? What is your take on that?
It's sort of both. But it's in us to make a difference. And when I talk especially to young men and older men, I tell them the first thing they need to do is learn to respect our women.
Oh,
because
man.
They just don't know the value, especially the value of a black woman. Lord, if we could just grasp that and know their value. Yeah, we are stronger than they are, but we're only stronger when it comes to our physical strength. We're not stronger than they are by their knowledge, by their wisdom, and by their leadership. We need to just let our women know that they are so special. And if it
you know, was, when you say special, when you say letting them know and respect, sometimes we're living in a day to time that we might need a refresher of what it takes to respect women. As a man, what does it take as a man to respect a woman? Maybe we need a refresher course. Explain to us what is some of the things that we can do to respect our women.
One of the things that we can do to respect our women is talk to them with respect. And if their name is Susan, you call her Susan. You don't call her what this congressman did to this congresswoman a few days ago on the steps of the congressional steps.
Mm.
And we treat them as equals, well, better than equals, because a woman is a pearl of great price. Our mothers, every one of our mothers are women. Our sisters, and any woman, I do not care what they have gone through. Everyone is striving. We have been through something and going through something. We could be that one man that make a difference and just let them know that everything is going to be all right. None of us.
You should call them
to
the name of your
we ought to be. But thank God that we're going to be better than we are. And I strive to be better every day. I get up and say, what can I do to make a difference in somebody's life. And I try to be a difference maker. And especially to our women, and not treat them desperately as oftentimes we do. And it has to start with, and it doesn't have anything to do with age. I have been in restaurants and seen old men treating their women like, well, dirt. And I wanted to say something. But I did say something, but I said it to God. Lord, please help them. And this is what we do. And any man that's under your sphere of influence, let them know. Start today. And respect our women because they are important. Let them know that. And let them see what you see in them. And you see more than the outward beauty. A woman is more than that. She has that inner beauty that only few men can see, but we all can see it if we look close enough and just help her. Not by wanting something in return. Let them know that this is a real man.
Right.
By the way you carry yourself around her and around everyone else. We can do that. We can do it. Do it in the name of John Robert.
All right. Anybody else got a question?
I want to hop in right there because Mr. Lucas, you said more than a Mr. Lucas, you said more than a mouthful. In addition to though, men making more of an effort to demonstrate respect for the women, I would go right here and challenge the sisters to show a little respect for themselves.
Absolutely.
Because people cannot do to you what you do not allow them to do to you. People will not talk to you any kind of way if you don't allow them to talk to you any kind of way. They will not treat you any way they feel like it if you do not accept treatment that is beneath what you know you deserve. Show a little respect for yourself. If you don't want people cursing around you, when they curse around you, pull them up. Excuse me, I'm standing right here. I would appreciate it if you did not use that language around me.
Uh-huh.
You can talk how you want to talk wherever you go, but when you are around me, would you please refrain from using that language?
Yes.
Now, if they keep cussing, you know what you do? You get up and you go. And
that's
you
right.
make it your business not to put yourself around those people since they have already demonstrated that they are not going to honor your request.
Absolutely.
Show some respect for yourself. They'll miss you. Eventually, they'll miss you. If you was cooking, they really going to miss you quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you have some leverage, sisters. You have some leverage. You
Absolutely.
Have some leverage. Use it to your advantage.
Thank you, my sister.
Okay. You know, Andre, you also mentioned something about, you know, getting, what you say, good trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to hop on that a little bit because, you know, trouble is a powerful thing sometimes. You know, it'll find you one way or the other. And, you know, sometimes you have to learn how, you say, pick your own battles sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And what we doing with the National Black Unity News, it's trouble for some people. But to us, it's a good trouble. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's a good trouble to have because we out here trying to make
right.
a difference in not only in our lives, but in their lives as well. They don't realize it. Me and my brother, Walter Murphy, were talking this, you know, earlier today. He said, can you imagine all things being equal and everybody had equal opportunity? In this country, I'm talking about the United States alone, how much mm-hmm. stronger this country would be with all the talents that we have.
Mm-hmm.
With all the gifts that we have, because of prejudice and everything else, they squandered all of those powerful gifts. Just like we were saying, everybody has a gift. All of them gifts are being squandered or being treated with all types of drugs or being put in prison systems and things like that because of foolishness. You know, but like I say, the trouble that we in the National Black Unity News is good trouble, and we're going to keep on fighting. We're going to keep on bringing it to them because
right.
somebody going to have, like Mr. Lucas say, look, like I said, look what they had to go through so that you and I can have a better quality of life.
Yeah.
Do you know how, like, how many times he's spit on, how many times he's been beat up?
Mm-hmm.
I watched them clips of them beating on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it takes mm-hmm. a powerful, powerful force in you to go through something like that and then keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what you're up against. You know, you have to have something, a fire up in you so strong, so deep. To go through that, because an average person, an average thinking person, wouldn't do that. And so, you know, so like I say, but you know, but like Mr. Lucas just said, he's been practicing that ever since he was a little boy. He was putting
yeah.
that, he was growing, and he was building up not only his faith, he was building all from high school. See, he was working on that. And
mm-hmm.
like you said, every day before they had lunch, they would sit down and be grateful, and look what they had to go through. And they still, and they, just recently, they were still standing. And regardless, Carl Lewis, he's standing because he's already standing. He's a stand-up guy. He's going to be standing up in history, and he's going to be remembered. Because like I say, I mean, look at the honors that this man gave. Look at the lives that he took. Look at the inspiration that he inspired us. You know, people like me. See, like I say, sometimes I get word just like everybody else. But then they are the John Lewis's, the Martin Luther King, the H. Graham Browns, and all of them folks who are the Malcolm X's and Marcus Garvey's and everybody. You don't know the road they had to travel. But then you know the time comes when like I said, the cycle of life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope and pray that when our cycle comes, that people behind us will pick up the banner and take it a step further. But you're gonna have to pay some dues.
Yeah.
This is
that's
not a
true.
Case. You're gonna have to walk across that bridge like he had to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many bridges in life that you're gonna have to face, but you have to be a man like Mr. Lucas said. You gotta be man up to take it. You got to stand tall.
Mm-hmm.
You won't get weary in some days, but you pray,
mm-hmm.
get up off your knees, stand back up, straighten up your back, and keep marching on. Anybody else
keep
have anything
on.
They want to share?
Yeah,
we
Mr.
Are.
David Murphy, this is
yes,
on Mr. Hector. Miss Fran got some fan mail. We got people out there making some comments, and they like what you said, Miss Fran. We
all
have
right.
LaShawn Evans from Baltimore. This is for Miss Fran. She says, so true, Miss Fran. There are many women out here don't care how they carry themselves. It's a shame. We need to do something about it.
That is true. I just, the other thing that I would add to this is that I too had the great pleasure, the great honor of meeting Mr. Lewis, John Lewis, at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum probably 2016 when he came to Baltimore at the request of Congressman Cummings to speak at an event that the congressman was having. And Mr. Lewis came in, and he was so kind and so humble and so respectful. And, you know, he just made you feel all warm inside because he was such a wonderful human being.
Yes.
And I think that John Lewis had the kind of love for people that mothers have for their children. You know,
wow.
You can do a lot of things to a woman, but you can't mess with her children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think John Lewis was just like that. You know, you could do a lot of things to him, but you couldn't mess with his people. And I just hope that, you know, as we move forward with, you know, the future and we have new representatives coming, that they have that kind of love for the people that they're going to represent, because they're going to need.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not an easy thing. This political piece, this is political elected official stuff. If you're not a public servant, you're not going to make it. You might get one term, two terms.
That's true.
If you're really going to make it and be successful at it and achieve the things that you set out to achieve, you must approach it from being a public servant, because the service of the people that elect you to do the job is really the only thing that you are supposed to be focused on. providing the service to the people that put you in the seat. And I would say to the people, your vote is your voice, and if they do not sit in that seat and do the things that represent you in the way that is pleasing and acceptable to you, use your voice and put somebody else in the seat. Stop putting the same people in the seat, and you ask yourself 2 years later, what have they done for me lately? And if the answer is nothing, you need to be putting somebody else in the seat.
Oh, Lord.
I know. Here we go. You know I got to bring it a little bit. You know, we can't just let it go.
But you're right on, too, though.
That's right.
Okay. Well, look, you know, we got about 10 more minutes left to the podcast. And before we run out of time, I want Mr. Lucas to share some parting words with us. And also, I want Mr. Lucas to give out his phone number so people can reach him. Because if you know, I know he won't say it because he's a humble man, but I'm going to say it. Mr. Lucas have a service. And you can go to the National Black Unity News and go to his page. And I'm going to be straight up about this. Mr. Lucas writes in the publication not really to make money or to sell something. He does it because, just like Congressman Lord, he does it because he wants to share with the community some of his experiences, and he wants to share love, and most importantly, he wants to share God with people. And that's why he writes in the publication. But he also have a service there where if you want to be special, just like you said, if you want to give something special to someone that you can't buy in the store, you can't buy in the book sometimes, you can call Mr. Lucas up for any occasion. He will write you a specialized poem or poetry for that individual or for that particular occasion. And his fees are very, very, very limited. It's one of a kind that he's given to you. But his fees are so limited. I mean, it's almost, he's just giving it away. All you really doing is paying for him to send it back and forth to you, you know, the postage pretty much. And so if you're looking to do something special, and we all are special, then treat that person like we were just saying, treat them special then. Give them a special gift that money can't buy. And Mr. Lucas can do that for you. But Mr. Lucas, getting back to you, sir, your parting words for the podcast this evening. Is there anything on your heart or on your mind that you want to share? Any closing thoughts you would like to share to our audience?
And his information.
System, kick me off. I'm back. It's Mr. Lucas.
Okay, yeah. I was just saying to you that I was just sharing people. I didn't know you went off. I seen somebody. But like, I was just sharing with people about the poetry and stuff that you write. And I was also mentioning to the listening audience that you write in the paper not to make money, but because you're just sharing your experience and your heart and the support of our people. I know that's why he does it. But if you have any parting words for the podcast this evening, you can do so at this point. We'll be ready to shut it down in a few minutes.
The words that I can think of at this time. Follow the spirit of John Robert Lewis. And the way he was as an adult, that is the way he was as a teenager. In everything, John was a young man with old wisdom. He's always had that wisdom, and we could always say anything to anybody and to each other. We correct each other when we want saying or doing the right thing. We could do that. And if we could get that spirit, love one another and encourage one another and let people know that we are there for them, not to get something in return, but to just give them a word of encouragement and help them to make a difference. And if I could just make a difference in somebody's life, then I would have made it. And this is what my whole life and my whole demeanor is about. I get up thinking, how can I help somebody today? Who can I help? and I'm the coordinator of our seniors ministry, and I call all of our seniors. It's about 65 that I'm responsible for, and I try to call all of them at least two or three times a month and see whatever they need and just make a difference. And finally, men, respect our women. And if we don't, God is going to get you. And what I pray that the Lord will bless us according to the way that we treat our women. Now, when you want to do something that's not right, I'm praying that you get what you give them. Lord, have mercy. Thank you all. Dave, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Friend Allen, any closing remarks before we depart?
You know, nothing different than the usual. We're in some very perilous times. Things are much different than we are used to. Many of us never thought we would ever see a year like this in our lives. But so many people, you know, like last week, you know, the lady in the store who called me out for wearing my mask, and when I took my mask off and coughed at her, she ran off like she was losing her mind. But look, people, you know, people still don't think that those masks are effective. But I got to tell you, I'm not trying to take it off and find out if they are or not. Put the mask on.
Mm-hmm.
Err on the side of caution. Don't be stupid and then go home and infect your whole family, because you cannot take it back. You will not be able to bring anybody back, and you will not be able to live with the consequence of your action if someone else gets infected and God calls them home. You don't have to go through those kinds of experiences to prove a point. At the end of the day, most people don't care about your point. Put the mask on and live to tell about it. Wash your hands. Stay 6 feet away from people. And if they don't want to stay 6 feet away from you, newsflash, you stay 6 feet away from them, because you cannot control anyone else's action. You can only control your own action. Don't be in the store arguing with people about, get away from me, get away from me. Just step back two, three steps.
Mm-hmm.
It's problem solved. And guess what? Ain't nobody fighting in the store, in the checkout line. I mean, really, this is not rocket science, people. Live to fight another day. Thanks, Dave.
Amen. Brother Andre Hector, any closing remarks, sir?
Oh, yes. This is Andre Hector, radio personality. You know, living in the world and the days and times that we're living in, we need it. We need words of encouragement. We need words of affirmation. We need to understand that, you know, we can make a difference. Even if nobody else doesn't want to make a difference, that is beside us. Like Fran said, you know, if they don't want to stay 6 feet away, then you take the initiative. Stop waiting for other people to do. When you are a driver, when you was taught how to drive, one of the things that they wanted to install in your mind was you have to be the defensive one. You have to be on the defense. You got to be on the lookout. You can't blame other people. You have to make corrections as you see fit. You can't rely on other people's abilities. You know, you have to take accountability. Accountability isn't accountability unless you're being accountable for something. Take accountability. Make it your business to get up in the morning. Make up your bed. Oh, I ain't going nowhere. But it's a practice of discipline, self-restraint, order, and it says a lot about your character. So make sure you make the initiatives, and don't make huge, outrageous goals. Take a goal. Every day, get up in the morning, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. How do you be perfect? People say, oh, you can't be perfect. Well, can't you be perfect with what you know? You might not know everything, but perfect what you know. Mm-hmm. Build on what you know. And you could be a better person each and every day.
Take accountability for yourself. Get up and practice that scripture that says, as iron sharpens iron, so does a friend sharpen a friend. Don't look for nobody to sharpen you. You might be waiting a long time. Go sharpen somebody. Go help somebody. Take somebody's groceries to their car for them. Don't look for anything in return. You know, just make the effort to say, well, everybody else is doing it. Well, why don't you try to do something? I'm getting tired of hearing people say, but everybody else is doing it. Well, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You know, it takes a conscious effort. Get up. I guarantee you, if you try, give it about a couple of days. You'll look back and say, you know what? I might not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to. And I tell everybody, I don't care how fast or slow you're moving in your life, as long as you're moving in the right direction. This is Andre Hector, radio personality, motivational speaker. You can check my website at www.andrehector.com. Check my website for upcoming events. Everybody have a blessed night.
All right, brother, sir, Tommy Jahi.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
man.
Any closing remarks, sir?
Yes, sir. I want to thank Mr. Lucas for his words of wisdom. As he talked about making sure that we respect our women. As Malcolm X said, nation can only go as high as its women go. So that I tell all the brothers out there that's listening, please make sure that you respect your women, respect our women, and even when they're not respecting themselves, still you take an extra effort to respect them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to close out with this. You know, we're seeing the rise in gun clubs because there's people out there who say, you know, hey, they're tired of seeing police just randomly kill people. And so, you know, I know it's going to be a hot topic for maybe a show we can do next week. But, you know.
Definitely look into it.
You know, because Malcolm X has shared years ago that, you know, the black people needed to be able to form gun clubs and learn how to proper use of a firearm. And Robert Williams, he wrote a book called Negroes with Guns. And when they stood up, he was president of NAACP in Monroe, North Carolina. And when they stood up and challenged the Klan, he said, as long as the Klan can shoot you and you don't shoot back, they're going to keep on shooting you. He said, but they challenged the Klan. Klan shot at them. They shot back. Eventually got him suspended from being president of NAACP. Roy Wilkinson and them say, you know, that's not our approach. But, you know, he made a stand. And from there, he went to Cuba. Then from Cuba, he went to China. While he was in China, he got Chairman Mao Zedong to write a whole position paper about black people in self-defense. So, you know, we have a viable history of people who have taken stances against the armed resistance that we receive from other people. I had a chance to meet Mr. Williams when I was in New Orleans. He had gotten back from China and was back in the States. And, you know, had a very, very good conversation. He said, at that time, we had the crack epidemic going on. He said, if black people did like the Chinese did when they dealt with the opium people, what we needed to do was to just burn some crack houses down. He said, and we wouldn't have a problem with crack no more. You know, that was kind of radical for people who was dealing with the crack epidemic. But when we look back, retrospect, I mean, crack did a phenomenal on the black community. I had friends that was on crack, and some of the stuff I seen them do was like crazy, you know. And so, you know, but again, Robert Williams is a great person for us to study and look at. And I would advise everybody to make sure you get a copy of his book called Negroes with Guns. And he talked about the importance of being able to arm ourselves as we got these self-defense clubs coming up and these rifle-carrying clubs. They got the Huey P. Newton Club down in Texas. And there's several other ones, but if you go online and just Google Black Militia, it'll give you a listing of different people out there and what they're doing. And so, you know, I know that's going to be a hot topic for a show, and look forward
Definitely.
To us
you know, putting that together so that we can discuss that issue and just keeping our people aware of what their options are, you know. So that's what I want to close with, David. And again, thank everybody for tuning in tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Tavi Jahi.
Yes, sir. Y'all been listening to on Blog Talk Radio, and then also y'all been listening to this on the Andre Hector Show. And, hey, continue to chime in, and we will continue to keep you posted.
Okay, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we passed the hour, and so I'm going to say this in closing. This podcast is brought to you by the National Black Unity News, and that's at www.tnbun.com. Check us out. Go in there and look at the National Black Unity News and look at the information in this, because it's another powerful weapon, you know, that we can use in our arsenal that can help liberate us. Because, like I say, words are powerful. And if we use them correctly, we can change a lot of people's lives. We can affect change. And so, again, I appreciate everybody who participated in this call this evening. And pick up a copy of the National Black Unity News. Well, if you want a subscription, just call 443-455-2373. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you to our special guest, Mr. Achenyo Lucas Sr., for his heartfelt contribution to the call this evening, and to everybody who's on the call who took their time out to be on the call, and to all of our participants, I'm going to bid you a good night. Keep up the fight, and fight that good
fight.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Take care.
Stay healthy.
God bless.
This session is no longer being recorded.
One more thing, ladies and gentlemen, before y'all go. We'll be on this tomorrow night, same time, 7:30, at the National Black Unity News Conference call hosted by yours truly, Miss Fran Allen. And so take care. God bless.
Bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Goodbye.
All right, that ends the podcast for the night. And again, we want to thank Mr. Lucas. And as we do each and every time, we close the podcast out. We close out with our theme song called It's My Time. And so, hey, here's the song, It's My Time.
Yeah.
Okay. In closing, if you plan on going somewhere and you want to be able to save on your travel, go to www.myvortex365, that's the numbers 365.com /MU Group. That's MUGROUP. And you create a free account. Account will allow you to be able to start saving 60% on your travel as you book travel on the internet. So make sure you create that free account, and looking forward to being able to be of service to you. Thank you. Thank God. And may our Congressman John Robert Lewis rest in peace and in power. Amen. Thank God.